Have your copy of the scriptures open now to Hebrews chapter 5. Today's message is entitled On to Maturity. In fact, that's the title of this new mini-series for this parentheses that the writer is giving us now, chapter 5, 11 through 6, 12, On to Maturity. And as I was studying it, there was actually three parts to it, part one, part two, and part three. And then as I was studying this particular paragraph, I thought, there's no way to get all that in there. And so today is actually part 1A, just so you're aware of that. Part 1B will be next week. So as we're studying through Romans, we're now in chapter 5. And as we come upon chapter 5 and verse 11, we have here the beginning of a parenthetical warning. He is teaching us about the priesthood of Christ. But then at chapter 5, verse 11, it's like it begins a parenthesis. For example, if you were to look at chapter 5 and verse 10 and then skip right over to chapter 6 and verse 13, then you would see that there is a continual flow there. So put it up on the screen there, Colin. You'll see right there that chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 12 is a parenthesis. He's taking a detour from teaching on the priesthood of Christ. He says this is deep, profound, very important truth that we as God's people need to understand. And so he takes this time as a parenthesis in here. He says this is a challenge because you all have not matured the way you ought to have by now, which is what the writer of Hebrews is writing to his audience. So what we have then in chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 12 is the third warning of the book of Hebrews. And we see it then at the end of verse 11, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So the negative way to put it, turn with me over if you would to chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And let's look at those two verses, 6, 11, and 12, which will be the end of this miniseries on the third warning of Hebrews, which is entitled On to Maturity. Verses 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So the negative way of communicating this third warning is that the people have become sluggish. And they are therefore immature. They've been sluggish in their learning. They've been sluggish in their understanding and pursuit of truth. And they are therefore immature. And because they are immature, they are unproductive. Unproductive in terms of the economy of God's kingdom. So if we were to turn that around and put it in a positive way, the positive sense of communicating this warning would be that you ought to pursue truth earnestly. Understand this. Truth is not just information. Truth has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. So pursue truth earnestly. And in that earnest pursuit of truth, capital T, that will lead you to maturity. And with that maturity, you will be productive in terms of the economy of God's kingdom. So here is the point that the writer of Hebrews is making then to the people. Those who have come to Christ, God birthed you into His family with the expectation that you would grow up. No parent ever gives birth to a child with the expectation that they will just stay young and stay an infant all of their lives. Every child is expected to grow up. And God birthed you into His family with the expectation that you would grow up. In that sense, the author of Hebrews is challenging his readers now at this point. He says, it's time for you to grow up. You've been in the faith for a while. You need to grow up in the faith. And so his warning to them then, as we look at verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, he says at the end of verse 11, since you have become dull of hearing. When he says dull of hearing, he is referring to their capacity to digest truth. What dull actually means is lazy. It just means lazy. That they are complacent with the truth that they have and they're not willing to get more truth. So they're not developing in the faith. They're complacent only at once at the infant stage of their faith. Now, there are those who are new to the faith, and you are therefore an infant in the faith. And that's okay, because that means that you now are able to grow. But every infant is expected to grow. That's why we feed them. That's why we exercise them. All right, we take them for walks and they learn to walk. And every infant learns to walk on their own. And they're not just bottle fed all of their lives. And so when he says dull of hearing, what does he mean by that? How would someone become dull of hearing? Well, let's consider three suggestions this morning. First of all, a person who has become dull of hearing would say, when it comes to this deep, profound truth, I don't want to chew on it, or I can't chew on it. When it comes to the truth of God, God who has self-revealed, God, the God who is self-revealed, the person would say, you know, that's just challenging, it's difficult, I just don't want to chew on it. Or you come to church, you hear information, and then you go home, and it becomes like water through a pipe. There's no absorption at all. You're just hearing information, and you're not chewing on it, and you just, you know, I don't want to chew it because, you know, it takes work to chew on it. And so the person is content to be bottle-fed all of their Christian life. A tragic thing. And this apparently seems to be what has happened with some of the Hebrews that the author is writing to. He says, you've just been bottle-fed truth, and you're not going on to solid food. And the writer of Hebrews says that ought not to be. The second reason why how someone might become dull of hearing is that they say, you know, I've heard that. I know that. Well, what do you mean, Rich? Well, this might be particularly true of someone who came to Christ when they were very young. I was almost 11 years old when I came to Christ. So I've heard a lot of truth, but I grew up in a Christian home and I heard a lot of truth. And I've seen folks that have grown up all their lives hearing truth all their lives, and they grow up hearing about the gospel, about Christianity. And you know, I've seen so many that get to the point to say, you know, I've heard that. So it's kind of like when they hear truth or they hear the teaching of the Word of God, it's kind of like in their minds they go, I know, I know, I know. And they become dull of hearing. And the truth then that is taught is like water through a pipe. They don't absorb it. There's no nourishment from it there. And there's two ways that one could respond to that. If you think, you know, I've heard that, I've heard this before. You just go, I know, I know. Another response to that might be, you know, somebody just... I've heard it. There's nothing new here. And so we're looking for something fresh and something novel. And yet, folks, you know, the Word of God is the Word of God. And it's been around for how long? And yet how fresh and challenging it is every day and how nourishing it is every time we're confronted and we're consuming the Word of God. So, first of all, be willing to chew the Word of God. Secondly, don't just say, yeah, I've heard this, I know. Because every time the Word of God is taught, there is something fresh for you. Understand that it is the infinite sovereign God of the universe who is communicating to your heart and mind. Consume it. And learn from it. Be nourished by it. The third reason why someone might become dull is just simply because it's kind of a judgmental attitude. If you think you've heard it all and you know it, then you're just listening for somebody else. And you hear a really good nugget of truth and you say, yeah, you know, that guy up there, that's really good for him. That'd be a good application for him. I hope he's listening to that. Listen, when you are here and when you're engaging the Word of God, don't listen for somebody else. You listen for you. You let God open up your heart and mind and allow Him to teach you fresh truths and applications from His transforming Word. Because otherwise, the person who says they're listening for somebody else, it's like saying, I'm good, thanks. I don't have any more growing I have to do. But that guy over there, he really needs to grow. Don't do that, lest you become dull of hearing. There's a very challenging statement then that the author of Hebrews writes to his readers. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Wow, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Is he saying now that what the implication here is that some of the people who are reading his letters, in fact, if not the majority of them, have been, quote unquote, in the faith for an extended period of time. And that's why there's the implication there that when God birthed you into the family, his family, he expects you to grow up. And so he's writing to his readers, he says, listen, by this time, for as long as you've been in the faith, you ought to be teachers by now, but you're still babies. You're unproductive. You can't reproduce. You ought to be teachers, but you still need to be taught the basics. That's not the way it ought to be. Now, is the author of Hebrews saying that all Christians ought to get to the point where they become formal instructors of doctrine and theology? Well, not necessarily. Let's offer a definition for teaching. When he says, by this time you ought to be teachers, it assumes a particular grasp and experience of knowledge, of truth. And remember, truth is a capital T. Truth has a name. So we're not just talking about information. We're talking about a person. So when he says, by this time you ought to be teachers, let's define that. And here's a definition for what it means. A mature believer who is a teacher. One who can confidently and adequately communicate truth to another in a way that glorifies Christ and draws them Godward. One who can confidently and adequately communicate truth to another in a way that glorifies Christ and draws them to another. In other words, in a very, very simple statement, every believer in time ought to be growing in such a way that eventually they will be able to say to another, follow me as I follow Christ. That is God's intent for every believer, to be able to grow to that level where you can say to another who has not been in Christ as long as you have, you can confidently and adequately say to them, follow me as I follow Christ. It's what the Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Now, it's not always just formal instruction. There's a formal sense where you're doing it in a class, like, for example, what I'm doing right now is formal instruction of the Word of God. And the Sunday school classes, the Bible study classes that you just came out of, that is formal instruction of the Word of God. But that's not all that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. One who can confidently and accurately communicate truth to another in a way that glorifies Christ and draws them to God. Because there's an informal sense of that. And the informal sense is communicating truth at life. In life. During life. Doing life. What does that mean? Well, it means at work. It means at home. I, as a husband and a father, maturing in Christ, ought to have reached a point, now that I have been in Christ for 37 years, I ought to have reached a point where I can, to my family, communicate truth confidently and accurately in a way that glorifies Christ and draws them Godward. That's maturity. That's spiritual maturity. And so it is with everyone who is born into the family of God, expected to grow up. So whether it happens at home, whether it happens in the context of relationships at work, whether it happens in the context of relationships in leisure, at the ballpark, at the swimming pool, that you manifest Christ, you can confidently and communicate truth that magnifies Christ and draws them Godward. That is spiritual maturity. But here's the problem. He's saying, listen, Hebrews, this isn't what's happening in your life. You are still at the basic level. You still need milk. Look at the end of verse 12. By this time you ought to be teachers and you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he's saying, listen, you need milk. You're still needing the first principles. You're still at a very basic understanding in your faith. You're therefore unskilled. You're unaccustomed to what it means to live by faith. And so it means several things. First of all, it means that they're inexperienced. They're inexperienced at living by faith. They're not accustomed to it. For example, I have 6 kids and 4 of them are now driving a vehicle. And I have been the one who has had to sit in the passenger's seat as they're learning. Singing, "Nearer My God to Thee." And when they first get in there, are they expert drivers? Do they handle corners well? Can they park perfectly? Are they aware of all of their surroundings? No. Why? Because they're not accustomed to it. And so they need the practice. And they need me sitting in the seat next to them to give them instruction. But as they become used to it, as they're accustomed to it, they become skilled at it. And that's the idea here. These Hebrews were not skilled at the Word of God. They were unskilled in the Word of God. They were still needing basic stuff. They were still trying to grasp the gospel. And what was happening in their lives with the lack of experience, the lack of exercise of the truth, there was not enough nourishment and exercise to grow up on, which he says, you're still babies. What happens to a baby? You bring a baby home from the hospital and it needs to be fed. But is that all that happens? No, the baby is expected to grow up, but you give it nourishment. And eventually the baby learns to walk and it needs to learn, it needs to practice, it needs that exercise. The unfortunate thing was, is that for the Hebrews, though they knew truth, truth was not producing transformation in their lives. And this is what keeps a person at an infancy stage in their walk of faith. Truth without transformation. For example, some of the religious leaders of Jesus' day came to him. They were called the Sadducees. They were kind of a different sect than the Pharisees. But they were religious leaders nonetheless. And they had the whole Torah memorized. The Torah, the Pentateuch. First 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They had it all memorized. They came to Jesus and they asked him a question. Jesus, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And this was their challenge. Jesus, of course, was teaching the resurrection. They came to him and they said, okay, Jesus, we have a question for you. This woman marries a man. And the man dies. They didn't have any children. The law of Moses says that his brother should rise up and marry the woman to offer him children in his name. His brother, children in his brother's name. That second brother dies. She marries the third. The third brother dies. And on to 7. And finally the woman dies. And then they ask Jesus, whose wife is she going to be in heaven? Do you remember Jesus' answer? Now remember, these guys had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy memorized. What was Jesus' answer to them? You err, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. Wow. These spiritual leaders who had the first 5 books of the Bible memorized, and Jesus said, you err, not knowing the Scriptures. Wow, what does that tell us? Truth without transformation is spiritual infancy. It's like you have the truth. You say, okay, I have the truth. And we can come to church and get truth, 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 and information. But you don't do anything with it. You know what that's like? That's like you have to cross a desert. And you know it's going to take you 3 or 4 days to cross this desert. You say, okay, I've got enough water to get me across the desert. I can make it. And you have this backpack of water on you. And you're going across the desert and you have no way of getting that water to your mouth. That doesn't make any sense, does it? And so it is with gaining truth that doesn't transform. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is challenging his readers with. You have truth, but it has not transformed you. You're not going on to maturity. And folks, unfortunately, I see that happening, particularly in the Western church, particularly in the American church. We're so used to just being bottle fed with truth that we come and we consume truth, but it's like water through a pipe and there's no real nourishment there and there's no transformation from it. And so church becomes like, You come to church, oh, just fill my tank so I can make it through the rest of the week. And I come back next week and I'll just be dry and parched and I need more water in my tank so I can make it. And church becomes a pep rally. And we're not really consuming and applying and living and engaging the profound truths of the Word of God that He has revealed to us for our good, for our transformation, and for His glory. Truth needs to transform us. I'm going to show you an illustration here. Watch this video. And so it's like the writer of Hebrews is telling his readers, your faith is still in the kindergarten. Now listen, there are those who are new in the faith and they're still young and they're still learning and they still need that nourishment. But he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. And that tells us a lot. That means over time you're expected to grow. You're expected to mature into that definition of maturity that we had given. He says, by this time, you ought to be on the solid food. You ought to be enjoying the prime rib of Scripture. There is a maturity there. And you have your senses exercised. In other words, there is something definitely substantive to your faith. And the truth that you are getting, there is substance there. And you have to chew it. You're not just being bottle fed the basics of the Christian faith and the basics of God's revealed truth. But you have to chew it. And when you have to chew it, it means you have to study it. You have to meditate. You have to devote your mind to it. Which, by the way, is the first warning of the book of Hebrews. To devote your mind to God's truth. What we have in Psalm 1, it's a great psalm, isn't it? Blessed is the man who meditates in his law day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. That's not just a nice thing to quote in Scripture, is it? It is a truth of growing up and being productive. Any farmer that plants a fruit tree does not plant the tree so that it just becomes a sapling. He plants it so that the tree grows up and eventually bears fruit and reproduces. So when he says here, in verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That word use, the word hexis, means exercise, practice, a habit. There's an athletic nuance there. You know, that those who are athletes, they do the same thing. They go through the routine, but they're developing their muscles and their muscle memory and their experience and their abilities to perform. So there's the exercise and the practice and the habit, and you couple that together with the nourishment of the truth of God, and it brings a person to full age. So it becomes very clear that there's more to spiritual maturity than just gaining truth. We're going to see that in a few moments. But it brings you to full age, which means maturity. Full age means you are productive and you are reproductive in terms of the economy of God's kingdom. And it is one whose senses are exercised means that your mind is molded by. In other words, trained and disciplined in God's truth. And this would be, as opposed to, if you have your mind molded by, trained and disciplined in God's truth, it's different from a life of Christian how-to seminars. And I'm afraid that that's what much of our Western Christianity has become. Successive Christian how-to seminars. Oh, I've got this issue in my life. Oh, I need to go to a Christian seminar that teaches me how to do this and this and this and this. And so we have a checklist of seven things, seven secrets to being a great husband, or 10 secrets to raising your kids. There's a place for those things. I understand that. But for many people, their whole walk of faith is a whole succession of Christian how-to seminars. And we never get to the point where our senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. But this is what he gets to next, the point of discerning good and evil. When it comes to what I take in and what I give out, I am able to discern what does and what does not proceed from God's character and purpose. What I give, what I take in and what I give out, I know what does and what does not proceed from God's character and purpose. Good means excellent. It means right. It means beneficial. What is good proceeds from God's character and purpose. What is evil is worthless. It is harmful. And those are the meanings of that word. It is worthless and harmful. That means it's not good for me. And that does not proceed from God's character and purpose. Whatever I have in my life that does not proceed from God's character and purpose is evil for me. It is not good for me. Whatever wants to come into my life, whatever I want to do in through my life that does not proceed from God's character and purpose is evil for me. And this discerning of what's good and evil helps me understand what nourishes the soul and what does not. It helps me recognize what moves me towards God or away from God. It helps me realize what satisfies versus what leaves me wanting. I have a question for you. What does a baby put in its mouth? Everything. I saw Holly mouthing the words, everything. Exactly. What does a baby put in its mouth? Everything. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, that shouldn't be the case for you. Just because something sounds spiritual or because something sounds biblical doesn't mean that it is. Your senses exercised means that you are able to recognize what does and what does not proceed from the character and purpose of God. But that only comes with the right kind of nourishment and exercise. And so, instead of a baby whose life is defined by what it consumes, we who move on to maturity, our life is defined by what we invest. And there's a big difference there. So bringing this then to a conclusion, this conclusion will be an introduction, if you will, to part 1B. On to maturity, part 1B. There are certain implications here about spiritual maturity that we need to recognize. And the first one goes like this. Spiritual maturity is not equal to intelligence. There are some really smart people out there. And some of them have an air of spirituality that doesn't make them spiritually mature. There are some smart people listening to me here this morning, smarter than I am. That doesn't mean you are spiritually mature. As you are listening to me this morning, please do not assume that you are spiritually mature. Go back to that definition of what it means. As the writer says, by this time you ought to be teachers. Here's a second implication. Secondly, spiritual maturity does not equal Bible knowledge. Spiritual maturity does not equal Bible knowledge. Remember the case of the Sadducees. He did so with the Pharisees as well. They didn't recognize Messiah. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, go back to the writings of Moses. He says, for they speak of me. But they were not able to recognize Messiah when he came. Bible knowledge does not equal spiritual maturity. You need to be aware of that. Just because you know what the Bible says doesn't mean you are spiritually mature. Because there has to be that exercise of it. The senses exercise to discern good and evil. There are many people who know the Bible better than any of us. But they are not spiritually mature. Here's a third implication when it comes to spiritual maturity. It does not equal longevity. You may have been in Christ now for a long time, decades. The writer of Hebrews is challenging you this morning, and he is saying, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Just because you've been a Christian for 30, 40 years doesn't necessarily mean you are spiritually mature. Longevity does not equal spiritual maturity. Very important truth that we need to understand. You know, you can still be, if you remain an infant all your life and you're just in your infancy stages, and all you do is just consume and consume and consume and consume, and you never grow up, you become a spiritual little fat baby. Now think about this. You can be a very smart fat baby spiritually. You can also be a fat baby that knows a lot of Bible. You can also be a fat baby who's been a fat baby for 30, 40 years. You see, you know what? You don't drift. You don't mature by default. You don't drift into maturity. It requires pursuit. It requires consuming truth. It requires exercise of that truth. This is how the writer of Hebrews is challenging his readers. Don't be a fat baby. But spiritual maturity comes from devotion to God's revelation. Now be careful with this statement, okay? Because you can just kind of, you know, brush it off. Oh, okay, yeah, I know that. Spiritual maturity comes from devotion to God's revelation. Two very important words there, devotion. By that, I don't mean I get up and I have my quiet time for half an hour every morning. That means I'm devoted to God's revelation. Well, not necessarily, because you know what? It could be just a routine for you. It's good if it is a routine, but if that's all it is, then it's not doing you a whole lot of good. But when you are devoted to God's self-revelation, remember, truth has a name. Truth is a capital T. And when you are devoted to God's self-revelation, it means two things in particular. One, you have a determination to seek. And secondly, you have a disposition to surrender. A determination to seek. That you are in passionate pursuit of truth, capital T, truth that has a name. And you are determined to seek. and you seek with the disposition to surrender to that truth. That will lead you to spiritual maturity. That is like saying, Father, show me, transform me, and live through me. Because if I do not pursue truth in that way and exercise truth in that way, I will remain a fat baby. And I might be one for 30, 40 years. I might be a smart fat baby. I might be a smart fat baby for 40 years that has a lot of Bible knowledge, but I'm still a fat baby. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us this morning, it shouldn't be that way. By this time, you ought to be teachers. So with that, we begin the third warning of the book of Hebrews. And next week, I'm going to unpack a little in verse 14, the idea of who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We're going to unpack that and understand what that means for the mature Bible believer, the one who has surrendered themselves in faith to Christ, what that means and what that looks like versus being doomed to living a Christian life that goes from one how-to seminar to another how-to seminar. Just tell me what to do. I don't know what to do here. Just tell me what to do. We need to grow up out of that. And the Bible teaches us that we can and we ought to.